The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. All through the month of October, you can save on XT5 crossovers while donating to a local cause. That's right. Lease a luxury XT5 for only $449 a month with zero due at signing. Just sign and drive, and a portion of your sale will go to My Hope Chest, a great, great cause. You can visit them at myhopechest.org. And Ed Morse Automotive across the company. This is their fifth anniversary in their drive for hope, helping out this great cause. Visit Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or go to edmorsecadillactampa.com. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, there are many great offers as well. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Sign and Drive 2017 clearance event is in full force. One of the offers we've had on JoeBucksFan.com this month that ends at the end of the month is the 2017 Cadillac CTS 2.0 liter turbo, lease for $309 a month, zero due at signing. All the details are at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You want to visit them at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. It's a tremendous website. Check out the 2017 clearance event. The new 2018s are up, and of course, the fantastic pre-owned selection at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine, and he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work, and he watches practice. He takes pride in getting the story correct, and he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Here we are at One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeKemper is back joining us, and of course, the star of the show is the sage himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman. How about all those Ed Morse offers, Ira? It's October. The 2017 offers, sign and drive are still rolling. All the 2018s are in. It's just a great day at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
I'm calling for the Bucks to go on a 5-game winning streak, Lee. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. They got winning streaks going 52 weeks a year. Steve, they got the Bucks beat. So, you know, Lee and I had the honor of showing up a few weeks ago at their affiliated branch, Alfa Romeo. We had a good time. Lee, we were sitting next to a soothsayer, between a soothsayer and a magician that day at the Alfa Romeo. Good eats. Isbitz, your absence was conspicuous.
Thank you, Ira. Stop telling me where to go and what to do. All right, here we are. We're at One Buck, and as we sit here in our room here where they've closed the shades so we can't watch practice.
As you've already noted, Quan Alexander and Lavonnie David are back.
They are back on the practice field. Now, by the time most people listen to this, or actually by the time they do listen to it, an injury report will be out.
And they could be on the injury report.
And they could be limited. But you know what? They're in pads. They're out there stretching. They weren't even on the sideline getting extra taped up, so that was pretty good. I was out there sweating with Rock Riley, watching the action unfold. Very encouraging for Bucks fans.
I think it was a smart move, Lee, even though they lost a tight game to the Patriots, and the presence of an Alexander or a David might have made a difference. You could make that kind of an argument. But I think it was a smart move. If there was any question about them, say they were 50-50, I think it was smart knowing that they would have extra time and probably be back going forward, starting with Game 5. I think that was a smart decision by the Bucks.
Yeah, probably, because I don't think you'll ever hear a coach admit this, but when their schedule came out and you predicted one loss, I bet you everybody would have predicted that one loss would be to the Patriots. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
They're 2-2, Lee. They deserve to be 2-2. They don't deserve to be better than 2-2. They're a 2-2 team right now, but going forward, as I wrote in my column, Steve, and I'm sticking with it, I got a good feeling that something good's about to happen in this franchise.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, Ira, because you really sort of put your beet salad on the table, if you will.
My chicken paprikash.
Your paprikash, your beet salad, your cojones, as you like to call them with your Brooklynese. But let me say this first, Ira. Let me get a couple of pieces of business out of the way. October 22nd. Bucks at Bills. You'll be at Abe's place making an early appearance, watching the whole game.
Looking forward to it.
We're setting up actually a VIP table where people are going to be able to book in advance to sit with the sage, talk a little football. You'll be out there by noon, stuffing wings in your face. And I'm actually going to talk to Abe and see if he'll consider a special beet salad for the day. I'm not sure if that'll happen.
Make sure Riesling's on the drink menu over there. I'm not a beer man. Riesling.
Yeah, I've seen you drink a beer, Ira. Who are you kidding? Come on. So that's pretty cool. Your fanretreat.com details will be up where fans can go the night before the Atlanta game in Atlanta to hang out with you.
All three of us might be there. Steve?
It might be a full house with some other special guests, which will be pretty darn cool. So keep an eye on that. If you're going to the game, you're thinking about going to the game, you can hang out with Ira the night before, courtesy of Fan Retreat. Eat, drink. I'm quite confident. I'm not going to say it here until I know officially, but it should be another free beer, free food event, which is always an enticement, if you will.
Let me give our listeners a little update, Steve, as you're doing your updates. Here's the good and the bad and the ugly, Lee. Ooh. I'm 5-0 in the fantasy league, which I'm shocked at. I am 5-0, and I'm the only 5-0 player in the 12-team league.
The sage.
So far, the sage. Leonard Fournette carried me last week. I think he had 180 yards, and including a 90-yard touchdown against Pittsburgh. Thank you, Leonard. Here's the other kind of news. My picks against the spread. Steve, I believe you need to lower that 53% to 43%.
Oh,
I can't pick my nose, DeKemper. I'm dying out there. I think I was 4-9 last week. I'm way under 500. That 53% is gone, baby, gone. And tell Abe's that he doesn't have to worry about that $500 because I ain't going to see it.
I got faith in you.
That's not going to happen, Lee. It's not going to happen.
I got faith in you. And, well, of course, we'll get the last of the business out of the way. Remind everybody, Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, you're on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio with Chris Mad Dog Russo. Ira's going to tweet out a reminder, of course, every week that says at Mad Dog Radio, so everybody knows where that is.
Russo will be ripping on Jameis and Gerald McCoy, and he's got no reason to pick on Gerald McCoy. He's having a Pro Bowl season, but he does it anyway, just out of spite.
Marv Levy?
And he's going to tell me that, Cutter's not calling a good game, and I'm going to have trouble arguing against that.
Well, bring up Marv Levy, and he'll go bananas.
There you go.
And lastly, your podcast.
And then next Sunday, I'll be on the Bucks tailgate again.
Are they going to
possibly spell my name?
I was going to ask. Are they going to figure out how to spell your name?
They're tripping over themselves. The producer called me. We're so sorry. I don't want a phone call. I want my name spelled right.
I gave
Chicken Paprikash, and I get Kaufman with a double F.
Now you got to answer. Okay, I'm just a hillbilly from the cornfields of Illinois.
I agree with that.
What is Paprikash? I mean, that sounds like something from Pakistan.
It's a chicken dish that I mentioned. Lutes from New York. Of course, I've never dined there. I'm used to going to chicken and burger world in Greenwich Village. And Ray's Pizza on 11th Street and 6th Avenue, which was my favorite haunt when I went to NYU grad school. But there is a chicken paprikash. I'm not sure you boys spelled it right.
No, I spelled it right, Aaron. I'm familiar with the paprikash.
See, I thought it was a pasta of some sort.
No, I don't believe so.
It is basically a Hungarian.
Hungarian. Nice.
All Hungarian food is just laden with paprika. Like, they'll put it on cheese noodles.
It's about 1,800 calories per serving.
So that's where you get the paprikash from, the paprika.
I mean, where I'm from, it's deer sausage and cheese, you know?
Lee Ispitz does his research, doesn't he? He spells it right. He looks it up. He knows it's Hungarian.
He's a well-rounded man.
I've had the paprikash before. It's a little weird, but it depends what they serve it with. But that's not important here, Ira. Enough of the paprika. Yes, Scott Smith's tailgate Sunday, 10:30. Football Sundays, Fox 13. Ira is the star of the show, the sage of the show.
I only get 3 minutes, Steve. What kind of star, man? Ricky Reynolds, he's got 22 minutes there.
When's Ricky Reynolds ever been in a locker room?
Former player, Lee. Former Buck.
How many years ago?
Well, you know 20? What, Steve? To give him credit, he speaks pretty freely on that show.
He's done a good job. 10 years in the NFL, I listen to the guy.
I'm not anti-Ricky Reynolds at all, but it's like, wait a minute. You've got a Hall of Fame voter, a guy that's in the locker room, a guy that's got a pipeline to the highest reaches of One Buck Palace.
I understand.
And yet they give you the cold shoulder. But Lee, and a guy who hasn't been here for 20 years,
but Lee,
they act like he's John Madden.
Ricky Reynolds, who played corner for a long time in this league, is weighing in on Vernon Hargraves. And that has validity. And he's not making any alibis either for Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah, I'm all for you getting more time, Ira. I will say this. At least Scott Smith is not – he's basically just asking Ricky Reynolds what he sees on the field. He's really not going beyond that. So, I thought Reynolds has done a good job. It's a good show. We need more sage time.
Yeah, well, I just want to be clear. I have nothing against Ricky Reynolds, but it's like, come on. You want the insider? That's Ira.
I understand.
I mean, you're number 31 in Google Play or 29 or wherever
is
the hell it is now.
31 or 29,
right,
Steve,
as of today, in the Google Play top charts podcast rankings, strictly Google Play, Mr. Kaufman is ranked 29 overall. So you're creeping up. And
who
am
I ahead of, Steve? Am I ahead of any luminaries?
We've been through the names, the Stephanopoulos's, the others. I don't have it in front of me, Ira, but you're up. This is the nation. The nation. So very, very
not
impressive stuff.
This is the nation.
No, Google Play, they launched their podcast platform's only about a year and a half old. It's not worldwide.
Okay.
So it's just the nation and Canada. So we'll give you North America.
North America.
Have I picked up any listeners in Ecuador? What's going on?
Don't have that kind of stuff with me today. Today I don't. Sometimes we have some fun with that, but not today.
The Vatican's the key. If you get the Vatican, that's you can't top that.
But I can say on iTunes, you're doing very well. Top episodes this week. You're a madman, Ira.
What's on your mind this week, Stephen?
All right,
we
end with the picks of the week, but since your column basically said the Bucks are going on a 5-game winning streak right now,
I did.
Then we don't need to know your pick because you're picking the next 5 games. What's going on here, Ira? 5-game winning streak.
I don't know. I got a good feeling. I just have a good feeling. Now, what I didn't count on is Carolina bouncing back in the way they have, 4-1. I mean, 3-2 I would have accepted for Carolina. Cam Newton's coming on. Cam Newton's coming on. It's a little scary. They're doing this without Greg Olsen. Little scary. The defense is playing well. Julius Peppers, gentlemen, is making plays. I mean, what the heck's going on around here? Atlanta wasn't going to fall off the face of the earth. You know, they could have a bad year and win 9 or 10 games compared to what they did last year. Carolina is you know, and New Orleans has bounced back after an 0-2 start. This is a tough division, no question about it. But I just feel, and look, you have already mentioned, guys, Alexander and David, back on the practice field. Mm-hmm. I expect them to play in Arizona. You couple it with the way Beckwith's been playing. That is one hellacious linebacking core, gentlemen.
Oh, my. And Glanton.
And go get after Carson Palmer. You know, this struck me today when Mike Smith was talking, Lee, besides calling me an old man.
You got after him.
Guys, tell me if I'm wrong about this. But, you know, you start in week one with Mike Glennon, Case Keenum, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, and now Carson Palmer. Basically, all these guys are relatively immobile. Mm-hmm. None of them. Now, next week's Tyrod Taylor. A big difference.
Yes.
But through this game in Arizona, the Bucs will have faced 5 guys that you should put on their ass, or 5 guys that you're not worried about breaking through from the pocket. Defense has to make a big statement, and I think they will out in Arizona, Steve. I really do.
I apologize. Who did Carolina play Sunday?
Carolina knocked off Detroit in a high-scoring game.
After winning in New England.
In Detroit, where they led most of the way.
The reason why I brought that up, Detroit's a legitimate foe, but the Patriots aren't the Patriots anymore.
I understand.
So they had a close game with the Patriots, and so did the Bucs. So I'm not.
The game was at Gillette.
But it was still close. And, you know, so.
But Carolina had a big lead last week, right?
Carolina had a massive lead against the Patriots.
And Stafford came back on them, right?
Stafford came back on them, as did Tom Brady. It was a furious comeback by the Patriots, pushing it into overtime.
That's right.
Carolina recovered.
I was in a sports bar Sunday, and Steve's connected with this. And I was focused on the Steelers and the Jags, which obviously Mr. Isbitz has a vested interest in. Anyway, I was concentrating on that game, and on TV next to it was Detroit, Carolina. I forgot all about, had to have my memory jogged. And in that broadcast, and I was like, I wasn't even really paying attention. It was background noise. I heard them screaming about George Johnson had a sack. I'm like, wait a minute. Sackless George Johnson? And I either texted or emailed Steve like, sackless George Johnson got a sack. Well, Steve looked it up. No, he actually didn't, but.
Steve, you can't win 5 in a row without winning the first one. And I'm going on record right now saying, if you come home from Arizona at 2-3, shame on you. Shame on you. Arizona was under 500 last year with David Johnson, who's the first pick in most fantasy drafts in 2017. The number one overall pick. He's not around. He's gone. Instead of David Johnson, you look at Adrian Peterson, for goodness sakes. Carson Palmer's seen his better days. So's Larry Fitzgerald. This is not a particularly good football team.
Lousy offensive line.
You got the revenge of what, you know, the Cutter's showing them tape all week long of what happened last year. You know, their blood's got to be boiling about not showing up in the desert. Go stomp on them and, jump out to a big lead and take care of it.
How much of a panic move was that to get Peterson?
I think it shows panic.
Oh, before we hit the Adrian Peterson era, though, but you you like the Bucks to go stomp on the Cardinals. That's fine. But you're calling a five-game winning streak.
I am.
What's the mentality? You're calling a five-game streak.
The mentality is I think the extra days gave Cutter a chance to self-scout himself. Never mind Jameis Winston and DeSean Jackson. This is Dirk Cutter. Why does Cutter have this job? He's a play caller. He's got a relationship with number three, who he's going to develop into a franchise quarterback. Well, so far, it hasn't happened. He's not calling a very good game, and Winston hasn't progressed significantly from his first 2 years. Some people think he's regressed from his first 2 years. You could make that argument. So this one's on Cutter. Cutter's going into Arizona. I want to see more Cutter. I want to see more balance. They got Doug Martin now. I want to see one of more trust in the. Now, I stunned you with that stat, Steve, in the Wednesday column. 65% of the snaps are going through the air. That's not balance from Dirk Cutter. Cutter loves to talk about balance. I was talking to Sweezy today. Had a good quote from Sweezy. I tweeted it out about, we're not playing bad, but we're not playing to our full potential, and we know that, and we know what we got to do. Well, Sweezy also went on to say, if we can establish that run game like we should, and I know we can, that's going to make the play action that much more effective, and right now, I don't think teams are honoring it. Yep. So I still have a good feeling about this team, Steve. See me in 5 weeks and see if I'm wrong.
The balance issue, it sounds pretty. But in practicality, if you don't have the horses, you're spitting in the wind.
Do they have the horses? Do they?
I don't think they do. I just don't trust Doug Martin. I'm sorry.
Well, they had it in 2015. They had the balance.
And Adrian Peterson was Pro Bowler 2 years, okay. 2 years ago, too. Yeah. I'm not disputing what you're saying. That's 2015. We're in 2017. You know, I'm not going to get going on your favorite boy, Charles Sims. But he's not a runner. Jacques Rogers, just when we thought, and Steve pumped him up on the last podcast I was involved in, he's about ready to go. And then we heard people saying, you know, Bill Polian said, oh, he finishes stronger than he ever has. And what'd he do against the Patriots? Nothing. So
I thought they should have ran the ball more against the Patriots, Steve. I'll go right there. The offensive line had a good night. There were holes. The holes were big.
Sure. Well, I mean, look, Peyton Barber is still on the bench. No horseshoes, if we consider him a horse.
I don't want to hear any nonsense about Doug Martin's gas. You got other running backs on. Why are they on the team if you don't have any trust in them?
I'm sorry. I not only do I not trust Doug Martin, if these freaking running backs were as good as people claim they are, why aren't they showing it? I'm sorry.
Cutter says, you know, if you're on the roster, we have faith in you and we have confidence in you.
Well, he says
he hasn't shown it.
To Dirk's credit, because he's a player's coach, he says a lot of things to buoy their confidence. He does that. That's the way he is. I expect Cutter to go up there like, you know, I got three pieces of schlock for running back, and if it wasn't for the NFL, these guys would be selling siding for a living.
Steve, has Peyton Barber done anything wrong since a nice opening day effort? Against the Bears? Is Barber screwed up?
No, of course not. I mean, he hasn't been on the field. A couple of carries, I think, since that opening day. So it is a little bit questionable when you look at it that way. Jaquizz Rodgers, I mean, he had 3 carries against the Patriots. It's hard to say that he was completely off. You know, he didn't show a spark in those 3
right.
carries, but 3 carries is 3 carries. Nobody's a great running back with
sure.
3 carries. So it is interesting, and you would think that they would seek that balance that you that you talk about, and we're going to find out. One thing that Doug Martin said this week, I don't know if you saw it. I wrote it up on JoeBucksFan.com. Doug Martin talked about, you know, with a lot of fans. Or Lee wrote the story. Let me backtrack. Lee wrote Friday night. Dirk Cutter was on Sirius and talked about how Martin was gassed after his first series, and a lot of fans have been bitching. Where was Martin? He was running well. You blew it, Dirk. I heard one guy call local sports radio, that does still exist, unbelievably, said that Cutter should be fired by his incompetence by benching Martin and sitting him down, not giving him more carries when he was running so well. Martin was on Buccaneers Radio Network saying, man, I got a little bit into that game and I realized, oh, man, I've been off for 4 weeks. I can't simulate this. Holy cow. And he was said himself that he was a little bit overwhelmed because he just wasn't in football shape.
So my point is, give it to a different back.
Right, and I agree with you.
I agree with you if they can produce.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit curious
only because, especially since Rodgers had come off a solid game the week before.
And I thought the O-line had a good night, Lee.
Yeah.
The O-line had
actions speak louder than words. I think part, you know, I've been harping the last couple minutes on this podcast, but I don't have any faith in these running backs. Well, don't you think Dirk Koetter is showing the same? That if he had faith in these guys, he'd be handing them the rock? Because you sort of touched upon that in one of your columns. You know, we all know Jason Light doesn't have a contract for next year. Well, you think Dirk Koetter is sleeping well at night with the Bucks struggling as they are? And they are struggling. We thought they'd be a little bit better. Do you think he's sleeping well at night? If he honestly thought in his deep in his heart that these backup running backs could help him produce a win, don't you think he'd be giving them the ball?
I don't think you're going to see Winston throw the ball 40, 45 times during this next stretch coming up consistently like he has. He's averaging 38 or 39 mm-hmm. pass attempts a game. I think that's too high.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is not Tom Brady. This is not Drew Brees. He doesn't need to throw the ball 39 times.
To Jameis's credit, now granted he had his first three quarters the other night, terrible. 109 yards in three quarters. That's not a number one draft pick overall. I'm sorry. That was terrible. I don't care how you slice it. That was terrible. But he's only thrown a pick in one game.
That's right.
So, yeah, he hasn't been producing like you would hope, but he's not a turnover machine yet.
Look, I'm not saying he's playing bad. Steve.
Yeah, you're looking for balance, yeah. Ira. You're looking for balance.
Balance.
I think reality says that they will tip the scales a little more toward balance, but I don't know. There's not a lot of faith in these running backs. I think everybody and their brother, you could see a story on NFL.com right now calling the Bucks' top need next year as a running back in the draft. That's sort of where we are right now. I think that's reality that will be a priority next year to get that franchise back. Especially
their priority is the same priority it's been for a decade.
Edge rusher.
Edge rusher.
Well, it wasn't this year. Who'd they draft this year at edge rusher, Ira?
I understand.
Yeah, nobody. All right.
Who'd they sign as an edge rusher?
I understand.
Chris Baker.
Irony was the inside pressure was very good on Brady Thursday night. Mike Smith even acknowledged that.
Yeah, inside was strong. Edge wasn't, and you know, we'll reset it again this week.
I got a little Pat Murray story I want to lay
here we go.
On.
Well, let me go. Let me go all to right. something Lee said because I said we were going to touch on it, and it's important. Adrian Peterson is the foe this week in Arizona. Bruce Arians is known for his famous phrase, "No risk it, no biscuit." So this is obviously in the risk it category. What do you think is going to happen with Peterson? How do you think Arizona approaches this?
I think he's going to be a washout in the desert just like he was in the bayou. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton knows offense. Sean Payton knows running backs. You know, they made a move for Adrian Peterson. They thought they had a need there. He's the man. It didn't work out. He didn't show Sean Payton enough. Otherwise, he'd still be a Saint.
Thank you.
So yeah, like you said. I don't think Buck defenders are losing a wink of sleep about facing Adrian Peterson.
Plus, he's not going to know the playbook. He's going to be very limited in what he knows. As we spoke about Doug Martin, how in shape can you be after three or four practices? Obviously not very. How much of a playbook can you know and digest in 3 or 4 days? Not very much. And as you adroitly pointed out, Ira, Sean Payton knows offense. And if he thought he could use Adrian Peterson as a weapon, he would still be in New Orleans.
I expect the Buck offense to have a big day, Lee, because Arizona defense, missing Calais Campbell, by the way. I mean, they still got Patrick Peterson, arguably premier corner mm-hmm. in football. He's on the short list conversation. But Arizona's given up a ton of points, Lee, a ton of points. And the Buck offense, which is Bucks are averaging 21 points a game. I don't think that's good enough for the Bucks. I don't think that's good enough. Their third down percentage, it's not good enough. I expect this to be a breakout game for the Buck offense.
As in DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson. Mike Evans is going to bounce back. Boy, did he have a quiet night against
him. He had a quiet night because I think Jameis wasn't even looking his way.
They played a lot of zone. Doesn't mean Mike Evans should have been taken out of that game.
So, Ira, as long as we're here, give us a score.
You want a score?
Yeah, a score. Bucks, Arizona.
You only saw the look on Ira's face.
34-16.
34-16. Lee, you got a score?
Oh, man. Until proven otherwise, this offense is going to struggle. Boy. I'm going to go
Are you picking the Cardinals in this game, Mr. DeKemper?
It's crossing my mind.
Wow.
I'm going to go with 19-17 Bucks.
On a late field goal by Mr. Patrick Murray.
Yeah, until the Bucks. You know what? The Bucks offense struggled in preseason, and I just discounted that because, you know, it's preseason. Chicago, they got, you know, how many gifts did they get from Santa Claus the first time? To their credit, they took advantage of them, which they didn't do against the Patriots. And since then, outside of, pardon me, the first half against
Giants. Giants.
Yeah, they've done nothing. You've got most offensive coordinators, if not quarterbacks, if not head coaches, would be drooling to have all these targets. And where
Steve,
has it been?
Steve, he makes a point against the New England defense that was reeling heading into Thursday night, and the Bucs didn't put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I'll take the Bucs in a tight one, 21-20.
Okay.
21-20 Bucs. I think it'll be tight. They just haven't smoothed. There's no reason to think they've smoothed everything out yet, but I think they're better on talent, which is how they beat the Bears.
They're a better team than Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to win this game on talent. So, Ira, your Patrick Murray story. What is this?
So, I wasn't there on Tuesday when Murray met the local media.
Talked about his medium.
So, I come in, and Brian Anger has the locker next to him. Murray's in the corner. Now, of course, I got along very well with Patrick Murray first time around. New York guy, went to Fordham. We're talking about, we found out I'm a Brooklyn boy. We had a lot in common.
Are you suggesting he's turned on you?
No. So I wait till he comes in. He wasn't there when the locker room opened. Murray makes an appearance. He was talking to one guy. The guy walked away. Now I move in. And I don't even address Murray first. Now I'm talking to Anger, who, by the way, is a heck of a punter. He's a heck of a punter.
Oh, yeah, he's a weapon.
And so I think Anger had headphones on, and I talked loud enough that Anger heard me through the headphones. And I go, hey, Brian. He looks up. He goes, what's up? I point to Murray. I go, I didn't like him the first time around. Oh, I didn't like him the first time around. He was in Tampa.
You're harsh,
Anger,
dude.
Started laughing. Murray looks at me. He started laughing. He goes, glad to see you, Ira. Glad to see you. You still got that wicked sense of humor. No. And so Murray and I, we had a lot of conversations. Was it 2014? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
2014.
Yeah, 2014, a lot of conversations. Hey, he only missed 4 field goals all year, 20 out of 24. He didn't miss an extra point. I believe that was before the extra point rule was changed.
Yes,
you're right.
So it was a chip shot, no question about it. Murray, says, I got a great feeling about it. He gave me a Jameis story. He said he came in yesterday, and Jameis was working out. He was doing something. And as soon as he spotted Patrick Murray, stopped whatever he was doing. He might have been lifting weights. Went right over to him, welcomed him. Even Murray said to me, boy, I can't wait to be around this guy. And I said, you're right. Your instincts are right because he's not a phony. Some people think number 3 is a phony. He's not. We've been around this guy for 3 years, Lee. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the effect he has on. I always go back to the Vincent Jacksons and the Logan Mankins.
Yeah.
And those guys were genuinely excited by
grizzled
this kid.
Veterans.
Yeah. Who would see through
a charlatan.
A charlatan. Oh, nice.
Well,
we see through Isbits at times.
Oh,
at times. I wouldn't call him a charlatan, but he's got a public face and a private face, and one looks like Elephant Man. No. But I digress.
I'm on video all the time. Of course,
I had a good conversation with Pat Murray, and he's very happy for this opportunity.
All right, Sage, since you extolled the virtues of Patrick Murray, I have a kicker question for you. There seems to be quite a few Bucks fans are very horny for this Santos, this kicker used to play for your beloved Chiefs. And my contention is, number one, if this Santos was so good, why didn't the Chiefs put him on IR and keep him? Number two, I think with all the nonsense the Bucks have put up with kickers through the past 3 seasons, I mean, it's been a nightmare. It's been a revolving door. I suggest that if Murray turns out to be just a decent kicker, not good, not great, just decent, that they're just going to keep him. They're like, you know what? Let's not fix something that's not broken. Let's keep him. We finally have some stability here with a kicker. Let's not throw caution to the wind and bring another guy in and have it blow up in our face for the 8th time in the past 3 years. Your feedback on this, Sage.
I think your main point is valid, Lee. Considering the
chaos,
Steve, around the kicking position, if Murray is middle of the pack, Murray stays. My point is, Lee, and I think you'd agree, Murray has 3 or 4 weeks to prove himself, and if he's bad, not middle of the pack, they got to move on because this season has to be salvaged, and this team's too good to pack it in if they're 4-4, and Murray's cost them a game or two with bad kicking. And that's where a Santos could come in because probably be ready with his groin injury. But I think the Kemper's right. They don't want to have to make another change. It looks like you don't know what you're doing. And the special teams coach would certainly be hanging by a thread.
Well, you touched upon this a little bit on your podcast earlier this week. They got to bring in another kicker. I mean, Jason Light's got to be going nuts.
Yeah. That would look really bad on Light's resume. Steve. And he's built up a lot of capital. I think all three of us agree with
it.
But, you know, other teams are finding kickers all over the league. I mean, you know, you can't throw up your hands and say Joel and Brian and Ed, Ari, and what do you want me to do? I can't find a kicker.
I mean, hey, Andy Reid.
Kickers all around this league. You never heard of these guys, undrafted.
It's part of the scouting department. And you could make a lot of – I mean, we could get all negative left and right. We don't know what if Patrick Murray's going to work out. Hopefully he does, and if he's healthy, he's done it before. So at least we're not going with a rookie.
And then we're not talking about a kicker on every podcast.
Right. You know. But, you know, you could if you want to be a negative toward Jason Light, you could say, well, hey, look, Jason, Folk wasn't perfect through preseason. When you got rid of Aguayo, maybe you should have brought in another kicker to look at, maybe put on the practice squad and double up on the insurance here. But he didn't do that, and you know it blew up in their face. But, of course, look, Murray hasn't missed a kick yet, so he's perfect right now, and hopefully that goes forward.
What do you think about what Phil Simms said, Ira, that competition between kickers, that mentally screws them up, and basically the Bucks blew up two kickers by having competition?
My answer is, if that screwed up a kicker, then that kicker's not for the Bucks. He can't handle that kind of pressure. How's he going to handle a 51-yarder with the game on the line?
Well, let's face it. What Simms' comment is the stupidest thing we've heard in a long time.
Nobody's even picked. Is Aguayo on a team right now?
No, Aguayo's not on a team.
The Bears brought him back for another tryout because the great Connor Barth, were a couple weeks ago against the Giants, Art and Steve and I, Joe Bucks fan, Twitter feed was full of where's Connor Barth. Like, well, what is his mother got eight different accounts? Where's his sudden love for Connor Barth? And Connor Barth is hanging by a thread with the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could argue that the Bucks never should have gotten rid of Connor Barth because they didn't need to. That wasn't why they went. Well, they went 6-10 with Connor Barth as the kicker.
Or if you're a longtime Buck fan, they shouldn't have got rid of Matt Bryant.
And the end of
we've been talking about
the end of that 2015 season, nobody was sitting around saying, "Damn it, we need a new kicker." That just wasn't the conversation.
They had a better record than 6-10 with Barth, and percentage-wise. Because remember, was it Bada Brinza blew that game in Houston?
Yeah, been 1-3 that year, yeah. And then they finished up 6-10. Whatever it was, Barth certainly wasn't the problem. Jason Light took a chance, right in the mold of his big fan of Bruce Arians, a guy who was a mentor to him in
Trust
some ways.
Trust your instincts.
And he went with Aguayo, and the rest is history. Sad, sad history. All right, Ira, Mike Smith today was asked about Vernon Hargraves and soft coverage and Hargraves' confidence, and maybe that's all connected. And Mike Smith didn't poo-poo that at all. He didn't try to say, no, Vernon's doing great, blah, blah, blah. He didn't fall on the sword for Hargraves. He didn't say Hargraves is playing confident, just not making the plays. He basically said, well, we give these guys a little cushion to if they want to line up 3 yards off or 6 yards off, and it's their call, and whatever he's doing is, well, it's on him.
Props to Smith for being honest, Lee. He didn't alibi for Hargraves. Everybody sees that he's struggling, that he's playing without confidence. Guys, am I wrong? The first thing he said in response to the question about Hargraves is, well, when you play opposite Brent Grimes, you're going to see a lot of footballs.
He did say
that's not a ringing endorsement for Hargraves.
No.
You're going to see, and it's accurate.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's accurate. Grimes doesn't get tested very often, and for good reason. He's awfully good.
Oh.
He's awfully good. And the Bucks are going to have to bring him back next year.
Well, one of the fellow podcasts of the growing, bustling, popular JoeBucksFan.com podcast network, Jeff Cameron and the Scuttlebucks. I did my spot with them just prior to recording this podcast. And that subject came up. It's like, you got to bring Grimes back. And all of a sudden, you're banking on a 34-year-old. You have no choice. You have to bring Grimes back because Hargraves, if anything, he's regressed.
And they'll draft the cornerback first three rounds. I understand that. That's fine.
It's a messy situation. Now, Hargraves might right the ship. He's clearly talented, but
We want to see more examples of his ball skills, and we're not seeing it. Not getting his hands on balls
he did last year.
You could say he wasn't really that great last year. He hung in there.
He got hands on balls and stuff. Carolina game, he basically won that game. He tipped the pass.
Punched that ball up, and that caused the interception. He's just not doing it. But it's interesting because, you know, of course you could say, well, Brent Grimes is so good he's not being tested. Well, it also speaks to how bad teams view Hargraves, that they're not even willing to mix things up.
Well, it's
so
common
it
sense. I mean, obviously we saw with the Giants, Grimes is at elite level, and if Hargraves is struggling, even a moron can figure out, well, I'm going to go up to the guy struggling.
Guys, at some point, Smith might have to tilt the coverage quite a bit significantly towards Hargraves' area. That's what you got to do.
Interesting to watch. One thing I will say Miko Grimes, you know, we're not blocked from her on Twitter like most of the media is. And she was asked about bringing somebody, fan tweeted at her, about Brent coming back next year. We got to lock him up, blah, blah, blah. And she was very down on whether he would actually play again. That she said she didn't think he would play next year, but you never know. I might have to make him the way he's playing.
Contract negotiation.
Now, granted, that could be a negotiation tactic. That could be just honest. That could be a guy going to be 35 years old who said, well, I don't know. I'll see how I feel. He's obviously banked a ton of money in his career.
If he plays, I would think he want to come back in Tampa. I would think. I don't think he's got any complaints.
You know what? I think, Brett, well, you know, when you're 35, who cares where you play? Where's the money? Show me the money. I think, and when you're 35, even Brent and Miko, because obviously Miko advises him, they understand that his time is limited in the NFL. And if someone comes up, makes an idiotic offer like the Bears did with Glennon, well, they're going to leave.
I got to admit, I was a little surprised how well Justin Evans played, Steve.
We all were.
I was a little surprised. I was down on him in training camp, preseason, didn't show much. I didn't think he would get much action at all on the field in 2017.
Yeah,
I really didn't.
I thought
he'd be a special teams guy.
Yeah, we talked about him Friday, just that, you know, he showed up in a complex defense, one that we heard needed all this training and learning. And
you know, he tackled better.
First start, he picks Brady, he tackles, he's not a liability. I believe now, one thing I think we're going to see in this game is, look, Hargraves is struggling, Justin Evans is probably going to be on the field. We don't know the injury report yet, maybe TJ Ward's back, we don't know. But if Justin Evans is out there, how could they not go after him? On the turf, in the dome, they're known for big plays. And that their top 10 in explosive plays this year, Arizona. Bruce Arians has that all or nothing mentality. He's going to get tested if he's out there, and hopefully he's still up to it.
Guys, if Evans turns out to be a player, which based on the New England game, he could well be, you combine him with Beckwith for the 2017
steals.
Draft, and you haven't even talked about Howard and Godwin, who we're not going to make a determination on.
Well, Howard's going. There's
no
question.
All of a sudden, you know, that's more ammo for Jason Light.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Evans, and I was going to ask about this before you guys brought it up. Are they going to shade more coverage toward Hargraves to help him out?
And if you got to put Grimes on an island, so be it.
Yeah, because he can get away with it. Mike Smith, in his press conference today, said Justin Evans is the most athletic safety they have on the roster. So I ask you, Ira, given the fact that he's the most athletic safety, given the fact he's shown that he doesn't embarrass himself against the Belichick's, against Tom Brady, no one's better, does that tell you that they're going to use Evans to try to help out Hargraves in coverage?
I see your point. I don't want to opine on the technical aspects of secondary coverage. That's what Mike Smith's getting paid a lot of money for, Steve. But I will say this. Right now, Hargraves is a concern. Hargraves is an issue. And if I'm Mike Smith, I can't expect Hargraves to all of a sudden turn into a different player starting in the desert on Sunday. I got to start thinking about giving this guy some help and taking my chances with Grimes.
Probably, I think the truest thing we could say is that Hargraves should be okay if the Bucs can actually generate a pass rush.
Yeah.
Which, yes, the interior pressure was better, but there's still nothing from the edge. We still had a better pass rush against the Patriots, yet he completed 75% of the passes without his number one target. So it's not enough, and Hargraves, I think, will continue to get exposed unless they can find
until he proves otherwise.
Pass rush.
The guy you've talked about relentlessly.
Not Charles
Sims. Other than Charles Sims, on this podcast, is Noah Spence.
Yeah.
You talked a lot about Noah Spence during training camp, off season, what the expectations are, how much they need him, how indispensable he is. Guys, we're four games into the season. Is there anything to say about Noah Spence?
Yeah, he's hurt.
Steve,
he's hurt.
Is there any production?
He's not 100%.
What are we looking at?
I don't know the truth on his injury. You know, we'd love to try to get that. Maybe Noah will talk about it this week. But
I think
we
it's
don't
fair
know.
To say Ayers is starting to make some plays.
Yeah.
You know, and Golston does what Golston does.
With Spence, I thought I may have said this on a previous podcast when I was in Minnesota, and Spence came up to me. He started the conversation. I didn't. And I felt like I was a priest in a confessional. He was burying his soul. He goes, Lee, the first play of the game, first play, my shoulder goes out, just like last year. And he was telling me how he was limited. He said he had specific moves he was going to use against the offensive lineman he was going to go up against because those moves had proven on film that they could work. He said he couldn't use them because his shoulder was shot. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's not 100%. And I'm going to go back to something Steve harped on more than I did in the offseason, Jason Light. It sure smells like he was banking on a guy with a
coming off major knee surgery and a rookie coming off shoulder surgery, we're all going all of a sudden going to be in top flight shape, and then we're going to combine for about 15 sacks or more this season. And one of those guys is playing hurt, and the other guy isn't on the roster.
Steve, unlike some other members of the local media, I don't claim to be a doctor when it comes to Buck injuries. I have never claimed to be a doctor, and I've never earned that moniker of doctor.
And there's someone on JoeBucksFan.com that comments with that moniker.
And but Steve, if Noah Spence isn't right, get the guy right. I mean, get the guy right. What's going on around here? A 75% Noah Spence has proven to be ineffective.
I don't know what's going on. Don't know. You just don't know how he is. And, you know, these defensive linemen, they're all banged up through the year, every year anyway. So it's part of the deal, but we just don't know his situation in truth. He's not on the injury report, but that doesn't necessarily mean his shoulder's okay and he's still playing with the harness.
Has Jacquees Smith been picked up by anybody?
No.
Not to my knowledge.
He had a workout yesterday with Buffalo, did he?
I don't know. Not as of this podcast.
That's a little
doesn't
ominous.
Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter.
It's a little ominous.
All right. Real quick, Ira, before we head out of here. As far as the draft picks for this year, it's still too early. You were saying Justin
Evans.
Not
too early on the linebacker.
Beckwith is too early. It's too early. It's too early.
No, it isn't. Beckwith's a stud.
I mean, he's a stud. He's playing like a stud. I'm just saying you were making some grand assessment of this year's draft class. Still too early.
I agree it's too early. I said if Evans turns out to be a player, you combine him with Beckwith, who's already a known quantity. I don't care how many games he's played. And
all right,
That's not a bad draft crop right there. And we haven't talked about O.J. Howard. So, anyway, go ahead.
So Howard's still got a lot to prove himself.
Yes, he does.
I mean, going through this, if he has 20 catches and one touchdown, that's not enough for a first-round draft pick. First-round draft pick. On a positive note, Ira, of all these things that we've said about Hargraves and pass rush and all this stuff, none of us here, just so everybody understands, we're not expecting a miracle on Sunday. We still expect the Bucs to win despite these deficiencies, which speaks to their talent.
Who doesn't have deficiencies? You think the Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting there in a clam bake over there? They got issues.
A clam bake in Pittsburgh. That's interesting.
They got a quarterback who just threw 5 interceptions. No, a veteran.
I could understand a pierogi fest, but clam bake in Pittsburgh?
Winston hasn't thrown a pick since the Minnesota game. And Roethlisberger just got destroyed out there by Jacksonville. By the way, a pretty good Jacksonville defense. Steve's been on that, and I got to give him credit. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good defense for Jacksonville.
Well, I'll throw one out here. It's not really Bucks related. Real nice, juicy tidbit. Your cohort, Peter King, threw out on Russo, Eli Manning to the Jags.
Eli Manning to the Jags. For a first-round pick?
Well, he didn't say the price, but with Coughlin trading, they need a quarterback, and Eli Manning's probably got 3 years left, maybe.
Interesting. That would be a total give up on Bortles, who's not playing terrible. Steve's not playing terrible. They're 3-2.
It's interesting to talk about. If the Giants want to tank this season and get that top pick, they make the trade now. I don't think in the offseason, I think it's too late and there's too much time to think about it and for the fans to freak out. But if they want to tank now, it makes a lot of sense.
Peter King was talking about this season.
There's a lot of talk about shutting Manning down in a few weeks or trading him. Giants aren't going anywhere.
I don't think they get rid of
Eli Manning. Back to the Bucs. Here's the subject. A question I have for you. And one of our loyalists, Sarasota Jay. He tweeted us. He has someone talking to him, and it smells like a player. He has someone talking to him. He only says a source, but I get the sense it's a player or someone that's related to a player. That the Bucs are trying to screw with Kevin Pamphiel's head because he doesn't have that many snaps to devalue him in an effort to keep him. And you guys know who I talk to. You talk to the same people. I can say with utmost confidence that is balderdash. That if anything, there's film already out of Kevin Pamphiel playing multiple positions well. That I know for a fact the Bucs are scared to death to lose a guy in free agency because there's a pox upon the NFL with bad offensive line play that a good young player like Pamphiel, who's versatile, gets out on the open market. He could pretty much set his own market value. And the fact that he's getting less snaps, this guy's coming up with some conspiracy that they're trying to keep Pamphiel. Well, number one, Jason Light doesn't have a contract next year. So I don't think Jason Light's telling Cutter to sabotage Pamphiel in an effort to keep him because Light may not be here. And you know what? If the Bucs suddenly, this team spirals out of control, who knows if Cutter's going to be here? They're worried about right now. They're not going to screw with Pamphiel with the hope that he's going to stick around. They're looking for wins now. So if anything, keeping his snaps down makes the guy more valuable because there's less tread on the tire.
It sounds like a classic case of a guy overthinking the situation. Steve.
And we love Sarasota Jay.
Nobody in this organization from the executive suite and the coaching staff is thinking about how we're going to keep Kevin Pamphile in 2018. Their focus is on maximizing their win total in 2017.
Yeah.
Because their jobs are on the line.
Yes.
Steve, it tells me that Pamphile's not playing great. They like Evan Smith. Cutter talked him up a lot in training camp. Said he's been one of our better linemen. He's not a bad guy at left guard. He's not bad. I think he's better at guard than he is at center, Smith. And Pamphile's not a Pro Bowl guard yet, you know, if he'll ever be. So I wouldn't read anything into this contract leverage, Steve. I think that's a bunch of nonsense. They think they're getting the best play at left guard that they possibly can by giving Evan Smith his snaps and Pamphile his snaps. That's a coaching decision.
On that note, if they're worried about keeping him, they could certainly sign him right now. So, you know, it's all a question of who you want to spend money on, and we've talked about this before. The assumption that every guy on the team is going to be healthy and worthy of a new contract is stupid. So if you got a guy you like, sign him, you know, cuz he's not going to cost a fortune of money.
No, but they got to start counting their nickels and dimes with salary cap pretty soon.
Maybe.
Unless, yeah. Well, Jameis is going to get hit jackpot. Mike Evans is going to hit jackpot.
I don't think they see Pamphile as a foundational cornerstone player.
Well, here's what I can say about
you have
Pamphile.
To add up the numbers to see that. I mean, that's assuming Gerald McCoy is here how many more years?
LaVonnie and you can make the argument that Beckwith's playing so well, it makes LaVonnie David, although it's a team-friendly contract, you can make the argument that all of a sudden that makes him expendable, the way that Beckwith is playing via a trade or whatever. I can't see as quickly about Pamphile. At the combine, when I was up there at Indianapolis at the combine, Dirk Cutter said the offensive lineman who graded out the best for the Bucs last year was Kevin Pamphile.
I'm looking for this team to get on a roll, Isbits. You tell me where I'm wrong.
Hey, you've called the 5-game winning streak, and what better way to end the podcast? Ira, we hope you're right.
And I can just see Jason Light saying, walking over to Cutter's office after reading that column, which you know they do read, and saying, Kaufman just jinxed us, Dirk. What are we going to do with this guy? And Dirk's saying, he's an old man. He's an old man. Mike Smith says he's an old man. Let's wait him out. He's only got a couple of years left.
All right, it's time for your nap.